I want to start off today by reading you just a brief biography of one of the great Christians of the 1800s. His name is Hudson Taylor, and I don't typically like to read long passages, but I want to make sure I get this right, so bear with me as we read about this James Hudson Taylor. He was born in 1832, and he died in 1905. He was a pioneering missionary to China. He founded the China Inland Missions. He adopted missionary techniques that at his time were considered controversial. Hudson Taylor was born to Christian parents who prayed that one day he would be a missionary to China. And as a teenager, he came to faith and himself began to prepare for missions work in China. Taylor's preparation included studying basic medicine, learning Mandarin, and engaging in intense Bible study and in prayer. At the age of 21, Hudson Taylor sailed to China. His initial attempts at preaching in the vicinity of Shanghai, wearing his traditional long black overcoat, were not successful. It was then that he made the radical decision, according to some of the missionaries that were already there, he made the radical decision of dressing in Chinese clothes and wearing a pigtail and shaved forehead, as was the custom of the Chinese men of the day. And he began to criticize some of the more quote-unquote traditional missionaries because they were spending too much time in English company. They were serving as translators for diplomats and businessmen rather than taking the gospel to the Chinese. Well, Taylor decided to move away from Shanghai, and as he left Shanghai, he continued passing out Chinese tracts and portions of the scripture in Chinese. When the Chinese Evangelical Society, the one that had originally supported Taylor, at some point they were unable to pay his salary, he decided to strike out on his own, trusting God alone to meet his financial needs. Taylor married a fellow missionary and threw himself into the work at his small church in Ningbo, China. He also took over the administration of the mission hospital there. Unfortunately, due to poor health, he was forced to return to England in 1861. But while in England, Hudson Taylor continued to promote missions work in China, and he kept up a grueling speaking schedule in both the British Isles and in the United States. He also continued translating the Bible into Chinese and further studied medicine. In 1865, Taylor decided to start a mission agency for work in the unreached interior provinces of China. Missionaries with the China Inland Mission would adopt Chinese dress and would not receive a salary. This practice eventually became known as faith missions. He wanted to recruit 24 new missionaries, an astounding number at that time. When he was able, Hudson Taylor returned to China and was heavily involved in providing medical treatment, evangelizing, and recruiting more missionaries. He continued to split his time between China and the Western world, promoting Chinese missions and recruiting missionaries. By 1876, China Inland missionaries accounted for 20% of all missionaries in China. Taylor continued to pray for and recruit missionaries at an astounding pace. In 1887 alone, 102 new missionaries were accepted to go to China. He also made the controversial decision to send single women into the interior of China as missionaries. By this time, it meant that China Inland Missions provided over half of all Christian missionaries in China. Hudson Taylor's drive to work took a great toll on his health and his family. By 1900, his wife and four of his eight children had died, but he continued to work. He experienced a physical and mental breakdown. And while back in England, Taylor continued to promote Chinese missions. Finally, in 1904, he resigned as director of China Inland Missions and returned to China for his 11th and final trip. It was there where he died, and it was there where he was buried. Through the efforts of J. Hudson Taylor, thousands of missionaries went to China. After the Communist Revolution in 1949, traditional missionaries could no longer operate in China. China Inland Missions is now known as Overseas Mission Fellowship and focuses on missionary efforts throughout all of Asia. I want to give you three following quotes that help us understand the heart of this great man of God who went to China. And by the way, today, the largest number of Christians in the world is located in China. We don't hear about it because they're under severe persecution. They can't get up and go to church like we can on a Sunday morning. They have to go to underground churches. And they're in constant fear for their life for nothing more than doing what you and I are doing here today. Hudson Taylor's great work has led to thousands of missionaries and who knows, untold numbers of people coming to Christ. And his work is still going today. Hudson Taylor said this, "All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them." He also said that God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. He is too wise a God to frustrate his purposes for lack of funds. One last quote from him. He said, "The Great Commission is not an option. It is a command to be obeyed." Well, as you know, this year our emphasis, our push is on going and making disciples. That we must go to the unreached, go to the lost, go to our neighbors, go to our friends, go to our families. For some, it might mean God is called to go to a mission field. I'm so grateful that Alexis felt called to go to Canada, even on a short-term mission trip. That God has called us to go and to help others hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then to help teach and train them and show them the way to follow Jesus Christ. And we want to make sure that this year we make disciples. And that what Sunday night really is our emphasis all year long. We're going to focus on material that helps us become better disciples and help others be better disciples. And I want to encourage all of you to begin to come on Sunday nights. It's a great time, especially in 2 weeks when we start the Truth Project. Today, I want to talk to you about going and being blessed. And for that, we're going to start back in Hebrews 11. As you know, we're walking through the different characters, historical characters we find in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, the writer tells us this, that by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in a promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac. And Jacob, that's his son. Isaac, his son. Jacob, his grandson, excuse me. As did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Why? Because he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. When God said go, he went. And he lived in became the promised land. A land where he continued to live as a foreigner. He never put down roots. He lived in tents. And he did so because he was looking forward to the day when God would come and make an eternal home and he could have an eternal presence with God. God said go, and Abraham went. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 12 where we find the story of Abraham. And real brief, I want to show you a map. This is a map of his journey. I don't know how well you can see it. I can't see it very well, but I know enough about it. If you look on the bottom right corner of the screen, there at the end of that red line, the plains of Shinar, the area of Babylon, this is where Abraham was born and began to grow up. Due north of there, quite a while, a few hundred miles, is where the Tower of Babel took place. If you'll remember, after the flood and Noah began to produce men and women, everybody kind of migrated to the place, and God came down at the Tower of Babel and began to scatter the peoples of the earth, and this is where Abraham is. Well, eventually, a man by the name of Terah, who is Abram's father, was born, and he began to raise a family there. And God told Terah to go to Canaan. So he headed northwest all the way up to the very tip of this place called Haran. And there, Terah raised Abraham and Abraham's wife Sarah and his grandson Lot, because Lot's dad had died. And there they grew, and they had a family, and they were prosperous. And then at the end of Genesis chapter 11, Terah dies at the age of 205. And so Abraham is living in Haran with his wife, with his nephew Lot, with all of his possessions. And God came to Abram and said this. He said, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and look at this, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. My friend, God came to Abraham. He said, I want you to pack up everything you have, and I want you to leave your home, and I want you to go. And I'll tell you when you've arrived. And Abraham got up and he left and headed for a country where he did not know he was going. And God says, I want to bless you and I want to bless the entire world through you. But in order to do that, Abraham, I have got to increase your faith. And in order to increase Abram's faith, it started with a small step on a journey where he simply said, I want you to go here and trust me. God wants to increase your faith, and God will give you steps to take. God will tell you to go here or go there. God will say, I want you to go and get involved, because he is trying to grow and increase your faith, because he wants to bless you, and he wants you to be a blessing to others. But my friends, you cannot find God's blessings unless you go with God. God's blessings follow God's direction. God said, I want to bless you, Abraham. But in order for that to take place, you need to leave here and go somewhere else. You know, Abraham, I want to bless your family. Abraham, I want to bless your friends. Abraham, I want to bless those around you. But in order for you to be blessed by me, you have to go. And in order for us to grow in our faith, and in order for us to receive the blessings from God, many times we have to go. We have to get up and go to church. Get up and go to life group. Get up and go and minister and help. God says, if you want my blessings, you got to follow my directions. And in our theme, in our push this year of going and making disciples, most people don't come to church unless they were invited by somebody they know. Surveys show that only about 5% of people that show up to church come because they were invited by the pastor. Another small percentage show up because they happen to find the church on a website. That like 90% of people that come to church for the first time, it's because a friend or a family member or a coworker invited them. So we have to go to them. We can't just throw up a website and throw up a webcam and have a Facebook page and expect people to just see it and flock to us. We can't come here and do the best we can in singing music and doing the best we can in teaching and preaching and expect everybody just to show up. Especially in a rural community like this. I don't know how many people go up and down this road, but it seems like I see the same cars all the time. Some going fast. Some going faster than they should. Some going slow. But it's always the same cars. It's not like we're out on a highway where strangers drive by. But you know what? God placed this church here in this place for a reason. But in order for people to find our church, we have to, what? We have to go. But when you go, you will be blessed. Well, so Abraham went. And how did he go? He went as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. 75. He would have been upper middle age at this point. At this time, men and women lived to be anywhere between 130 to 200 years old. He still didn't have any kids at this point. But still, at 75 years of age, he had to pack up everything he owned and head south, trusting that God knew what he was doing. So he does this. He goes out and he takes with him his family. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, the people they had acquired, all of his servants. And they set out for the land of Canaan and they arrived there. My friend, sometimes going requires leaving something behind, does it not? You got to leave something behind if you're going to move forward with God. Now, sometimes God wants you to go and leave something behind, and it might be a temporary situation. It might be, he says, I want you to go on this short-term mission trip. That still means you got to leave your family behind for that period of time. Doesn't mean you can never come back. But sometimes, like with Abraham, when God says, I want you to go and I want you to move forward, sometimes you got to leave a lot behind, and you got to leave it behind permanently. Because God says, I have so many things that are much better for you in the future. I have so many blessings that are far better than what you've got right now. I want to give them to you, but in order for me to give them to you, you've got to go. You've got to leave behind some things. And you've got to put your past behind you, and you've got to move forward. So going many times requires leaving something. But also, when we go and God begins to bless us and we put the past behind us and God begins to work and move in our lives, your blessings, you know what happens? They begin to bless other people. Remember the verse it said there at the end of the verse? It says, you will be a blessing to others, Abraham. And you today are blessed because of Abraham's faith. Because we know that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came from what line? Came from Abraham. And through Jesus Christ, the entire world is blessed. So Abraham still speaks today. And Abraham's faith is still producing today. Not because of Abraham, but because of God. And God working through Abraham. And when you go and you follow God and God begins to bless you, it impacts those around you. It impacts your family. It impacts your friends. It impacts your coworkers. And it's an amazing thing to watch as God begins to work, not just in you, but through you, when you obey Him and take your next step of faith. The story continues. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree at Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So he travels southwest, and I'll show you the picture here in a second on the map, and he comes to the place of Shechem, and God said, this is where I want you to stop. It wasn't a place that was barren and nobody was there. There were Canaanites. There were other people living there in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. He's like, stop right here. This is the land I promised you. This is the land I'm going to give to you and your offspring. But remember, how many kids did Abraham have at this time? He didn't have any kids. And God is saying to Abraham, getting near the age where you can't have kids, and soon it was that way, I'm going to give to your offspring all of this land. He's building faith into Abraham slowly, one step at a time. And so what did Abraham do? He built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So here's a map real quick. As he continued southwest, you can see Shechem, or maybe you can see it. And this is where he stopped. And this is where he built an altar. And when he built this altar, it was a place where he could stop and worship God. But let's not miss the importance of this event. It's so easy when we're reading down through here. You can get to a verse like this and say, oh, he built the altar and he worshiped God. And that is true. But this was significant. When Abraham stopped here in Shechem, in the presence of the Canaanites, in the presence of people that were not following God, in the presence of the ungodly, he stopped and he built an altar. Or in effect, we could think of it this way. He built a church. He built a place to worship his God. He was declaring to all of those around him that I worship the God who made heavens and the earth. I worship the true and living God. By building this altar and worshiping, I am worshiping the true and living God. He was taking a stand and demonstrating to all those around him who he believed in and who he followed. In those days, Abraham declared, and his children after him, and the nation of Israel, all throughout the Old Testament, you'll see this. They will tell people when they would meet Gentiles, I worship the God who created heavens and the earth. The Gentiles worshiped the river gods, the sun god. If you know the story of the plagues in Egypt, these were attacks on their false gods, right? The frog god, and the half-man, half-fish god, and all of these weird gods they worshiped. But when they meet an Israelite, they say, no, we don't worship any of those created things. We worship the one who created all of it. And Abraham was declaring to the world around him, here is the true and living God. Here is the one that you need to worship. Here is the one that you need to come to. And God was establishing here the place from which he would build a nation. And for the entire period of the Old Testament, this nation would be to stand as the light into a dark world. This was the nation where God says, come and find me here. And it started with a man who heard God say, go. And he said, I'll go. And he stopped and he went. So when he went with God's blessings and he left things behind. And God blessed him and he blessed others. But he didn't just go randomly. He went with a purpose. God had a purpose in saying, go here. God had a purpose in saying, now I want you to stop right here. And there was a purpose for building the altar here. And there was a purpose for establishing the fact that I worship the true and living God. And that when you and I go, when God calls us to go, whether it's across the street or across the world, we go with a purpose. And what is that purpose? Well, we've defined our purpose here at Summitville First Baptist Church with our vision statement. And I'm not going to ask you to quote the vision statement, but I'll show it to you. Everybody's like, whew. I know everybody was thinking, uh-oh, is he going to ask us to quote it? No. This is our vision statement here at the church. Sharing the love of Jesus to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. Would you read that with me? Sharing the love of Jesus to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. I love that vision statement. Four and a half years, I've seen broken and hurting people walk through those doors back there. And I've seen a lot of broken and hurting people begin to grow in their faith and be healed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you in here, with a raise of the hand, will testify to the fact that at one time in your past, you have been a broken and hurting person? Look around. Everybody in here, we have all, if we're honest, been broken and hurting, have we not? When Jesus came to the earth, he came for the broken and hurting people. When Jesus came, Luke chapter 4, he had just finished the temptation in the desert where he was 40 days being tempted by the devil, and he goes back to Nazareth, his hometown, to start his ministry. And when he goes back to Nazareth, Luke tells us that he went into the synagogue or the church, as was his custom. In other words, Jesus went to church every Saturday. Jesus was faithful to church. He goes into the synagogue in Nazareth, and at the beginning of his ministry, he goes in, he takes the scroll from Isaiah, and he reads from the prophet Isaiah, who was prophesying about himself, about Jesus. And he read this portion of Scripture. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal who? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. When Jesus began his ministry, it was to the poor, the needy, the hurting, the brokenhearted. Jesus came for you. As Abraham left his home to go to the country where God directed him, Jesus Christ left his throne in heaven to enter his creation in order to rescue you, the brokenhearted. And then the scripture said this, he closes the book. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. And he just read this prophecy. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus proclaimed that I am the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah. I am the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. I am the fulfillment of all that God has been promised in us. God promised through Abraham all the world would be blessed, and Jesus comes along And he says, today I'm going to begin to fulfill that prophecy. I came for you, for the broken and the hurting. And you and I have been called to go and make disciples in Matthew 28, our memory verse for January, right? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That Jesus said, go and make disciples, and I promise I will go with you. And when Jesus walks with you, you will be blessed. And so as a church, we are called to go the way Abraham was called to go. As individuals, you are called to go as Abraham was called to go. And as we make disciples, let's remember, this is our goal, the healthy Christian. That's what we want to produce. And we symbolize the healthy Christian with healthy. And there's a six W's of the healthy Christian. And I've said it before, and we're going to repeat it often because we forget these things. The six W's of a healthy Christian. This is our target. The healthy Christian stands on the Word of God. The healthy Christian has wisdom to know how to apply the Word of God into their daily life. The healthy Christian does works and witnesses. We work within the church and we go out into the world as a witness. The healthy Christian has the arms of warmth and of worship. With one arm we reach up and we worship God, and with the other arm we reach out and we show warmth to people. I call it the holy hug. The six W's of a healthy Christian. That's what we are going to make. It's what our job is. We go and we make disciples. As Abraham went, you and I are called to go. Now, I don't know where God is calling you. For some, it might be go and be baptized. Take that first step of faith after you've been saved. For some, it might be go to your neighbor across the street and help them out so that you can then share the love of Jesus with them and the gospel with them. It might be someone's called to go to the nursing home and sit with someone. It might be that you're called to go and work in kids' ministry or nursery or go start a new ministry. It might be you're called to go and help out in the tech booth. Or maybe go and help out in our social engagement, our Facebook and YouTube pages. I have things that I would love to see done there, but we need someone that would step up and say, let's get involved there. It might be go and put an application in at that place of work. God's saying, you might be time to leave here and go somewhere else. God might be calling you to go to church on Sunday night or go to your life group or go meet with that other person one-on-one so that they can help you understand the Scriptures. Or maybe you can help them understand the Scriptures. I don't know what God is calling you to go to, but I promise you this, that when you go with God, you will go with His blessings. And you have no idea the impact that you will make. Abraham is still impacting the world today. James Hudson Taylor made an impact in all of China. And I find it so fascinating that it started with his parents who prayed specifically that God would send their son to China. What an unselfish prayer that was. God, would you send my kid so far away that I may never see them again in order that some people will hear about Jesus? What a prayer. The world needs to hear the truth. We need to share the gospel. And in order to do that, we have to go. Heads bowed and eyes closed, and the music team comes. What is God calling you today? Maybe He's calling you to simply go to the altar and get it right with me. Or go talk to that person and say, I'm sorry. Or it might be going to the mission field here. Do not know where God is calling you.